All right, Revelation chapter number 21 this morning. Revelation 21. While we're waiting on these books that I want to get started on the discipleship course to come in, we're just kind of continuing here in the book of the Revelation, looking at some additional things that are related to what we're studying in our Sunday evening services. Related, we saw last week how the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat one of these days. And we saw where we believe that that takes place there in Revelation 20 and verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And we know that a new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem pick up there in chapter 21, where we're going to be at this morning in verse number 1. So thus far we've talked about the rapture, the judgment of the seat of Christ, the tribulation period, the marriage of the Lamb, the second coming of Christ, the millennial reign of Christ, and last week we ended talking about the great white throne of judgment. Didn't spend a lot of time on that. It's a terrible time for unbelievers, and the reason why we need to get the gospel out. So today we come to this passage that speaks of the new heaven and new earth. Let's look at the descent of the new Jerusalem here. In chapter 21, in verse number 1, it speaks of the present, how that the present heaven and earth has passed away, and there's a new heaven and new earth. So then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We see the present heaven and earth, as we've talked about, will pass away. And we need to understand that there are two words that are translated new in the New Testament. One of those words means new in time or recently made. And that's not the word that's used here. The word we have translated here means renewed or renovated. It's the same word that is used of when we were lost in sin and Christ made us new creatures. It's that new. It's that same new there that is used. The suggestion is that while the present creation is cleansed by fire, as we have been taking a look at on Sunday evenings in 2 Peter 3, verse 7 through 12, God's going to bring out of that some new conditions. Yeah, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, but God's going to make it new again. I mean, He's going to renew and make a new heaven, a new earth. And it will be new because everything about the old will be gone. Everything on this earth, and imagine, you know, going to melt with a fervent heat. And it'll be completely gone. And the universe in which we now live is going to be completely destroyed. It'll be new in quality and character also. You know, what a shame that so many people live their lives wrapped up in the things of this world when those things are just so temporal. They're going to leave them behind one day when they die. And whoever they leave them to, you know, they're going to leave them behind when they die. And then ultimately, it's all going to be burned up. Isn't that sad? And God will make all things new there in verse number 5. Look at what He says there in verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." True and faithful, excuse me. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, when we say the heaven will pass away, we're not talking about the dwelling place of God. We're talking about the heaven that we see. Okay? The heaven that we see. And the heaven and earth, as we know it, are going to be completely changed one day. Now, we see the description of the New Jerusalem. Of course, the Jerusalem is the place where the Lord was ruling during the millennial reign that He had on this earth, that He's going to have on this earth. He's going to be ruling from Jerusalem. It's the city of God. And then it's also, we know, the capital of Israel. Well, we see a new Jerusalem here, and it's called the Holy City. And it's coming down from God out of heaven. It says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And let's read on. It says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Former things have passed away. Not only are the heavens and the earth passed away, but all the old things that we knew that this curse of sin brought in, they're gone. This new Jerusalem is going to be a city of no mores. First of all, is no more separation from God. Amen. God is with men there. There in verse 3, it said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. Think about a time of eternal fellowship with God. And the tabernacle of God is going to be with us. God will dwell with us. And we will be His people. And God Himself will personally be with us. He will be, for all eternity, He will be our God. Amen. No more separation from God. No more tears or crying. There in verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I want you to notice the placement of this. The suggestion here is that there have been tears up to this point. Okay? Some people say, well, there's not going to be any tears in heaven. Well, there will be up to a point. I believe tears will be shed at the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before the Lord and we stand and we're judged by Him, I think we're going to have some regrets, don't you? I think we're going to have some things that we as the song put it, by and by, when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more. Yeah. And I think we all are going to be in that predicament. I don't know any of us that give all that we should for the Lord. But I believe there's going to be tears by those looking at the great white throne of judgment. When we come to understand the eternality of the punishment, the great terribleness of the punishment, of loved ones. Maybe you may have some loved ones that will wind up in that place. Maybe you'll have regrets of, now I should have pushed harder to try to get them saved. Should have witnessed to them more. I think of Brother War and his dad. You know, you're really concerned about his dad and his salvation. And he was rejoicing the other day just the chance his dad let him actually talk to him this time about salvation, which his dad pretty much cut him off before he even had a chance to talk any other time. So the prayers are working. At least he's able to talk to him about his soul's need. But when you've got someone close to you like that doesn't know the Lord, it's got to be tough. I thank God that both of my parents professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they raised us in church. Both my brothers are saved. Our grandchildren are coming up, and as they come to know their sinfulness, they're getting saved. You know, we rejoice in those things. But I can't imagine people that have lost family and the great sorrow that's going to be on that day to see them cast into a lake of fire. But after that's over, and here at this point when the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven, the New Earth, New Jerusalem take place, there will be no more tears and no more crying from that point forward. And verse 4 also says, neither sorrow. There should be no more death, neither sorrow. Think about for a moment about the things that have caused us sorrow in this life. There are many, aren't they? They won't be any of that ever again. Whatever's caused the sorrow, and I don't know what's going on in my eyes, but it's like I've got a film over them. It's like my glasses are fogged up, and they're not. But you'll just have to excuse me. I'm having to blink a little bit extra to try to get it cleared out of there. I'll use some drops before I come in here and preach this morning and see if I can get it moved out. But no more. Think about the things that have brought sorrow in this life. All the sorrow, of course, caused by the effects of sin. Amen? Just really it is. Death is one of those things that causes sorrow. When we deal with the death of a loved one, and most of us have experienced that, and you haven't experienced it, you will, more than likely, before you leave this earth. But there should be no more death, neither sorrow. Notice that there's going to be no more pain. It says no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No pain. This life is full of things that bring pain. Accidents, injury, sickness, you name it. It's all going to be gone. And with that pain, death's going to be gone too. One of the most difficult things as a pastor is trying to help those who are grieving over the death of a loved one. When I have to do that, it's like I don't feel like I'm adequate to do it. Especially if the loved one did not know Christ. My very first funeral that I had to perform as a pastor was someone who lived like the devil. I didn't know him, but she was a relative to someone in my first church that was in my church, and that was the only person they knew that knew a preacher. It was her niece or something like that, and they brought her from Mississippi, and I had to do my first funeral knowing that this person probably was lost as a goose. And you talk about feeling inadequate and trying to help, be a help rather than a hurt. But all I did is just preach Jesus and try to help the living. But there would be no more being separated from those we are with. No more caskets, no more funeral services, no more grave sites. There's a song used to sing a long time ago, "Won't It Be Wonderful There?" Having no burdens to bear over there. Joyously singing, with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There's going to be no more wants either. Look down in verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And just a reminder, we're going to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father owns it all. So we're rich. Yeah, we're rich. We have many unfulfilled desires here in this life. Sometimes our lust in this life get us into trouble, don't they? But that won't be a problem in the heavenly city. Our lives will be totally satisfied with God and His eternal provision for us. We'll finally be satisfied. Think about it. No more sinners. Verse 8. So, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No one to oppose our faith in God, amen, in this day and time which we live. You know, if folks make derogatory remarks, maybe. And, you know, if that's all we get as far as persecution does, we're fortunate, because in some places they'll take you and torture you and kill you. And but there's going to be no more sinners. let's back up a little bit and let's go ahead and read down through the chapter. Let's pick up with verse number 3, and I want to read all of this about the New Jerusalem, and then we'll come back and look. To make some more comments here. But he says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." You ought to underline that. The former things are passed away. And the next verse, and he said, "He that sat upon the throne said," and you ought to underline this, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." In other words, no, this is not a joke. You know? What God says He will do, He will do. Verse 6. And He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things." You ought to underline that. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God." Excuse me. "And he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. So you got a cube here. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of the angel, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, ninth topaz, and tenth chrysoprasus, and the 11th of jacinth, and the 12th and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall no wise enter into it. Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So, we see that no more sinners, no more sin, no more curse. In fact, chapter 22, verse number 3 tells us specifically, there shall be no more curse. And there can be no more sea. And the sea is necessary to sustain life in the world in which we live right now. We get a lot of our food from the sea, believe it or not. There'll be no sea for, no need for a sea with the Lord. He's the one that's going to sustain us. And it talks about there's going to be no more night there. What you think about it? Darkness is the absence of light. That's what it is. And when you're in the presence of the light of the world, Jesus, how can you have darkness? You can't, can you? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And since we will be in His presence for all eternity, there will be no night. And it talked about there in verse 22, no more temple. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So, we see it's a city of no more, but it will also be a perfect city from God. Remember how Hebrews 11:10 tells us that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? This is the city. Amen. Here's the city right here. Remember how Jesus said in John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you? This was a place that's prepared. You notice how it said it was prepared? Huh? Yeah. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And there in verse number, two. This city will be perfectly symmetrical. According to verse 16, 12,000 furlongs is equivalent to 1,500 miles. I want you to think about this. 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. Okay? 1,500 miles always. Cube. And that would be, we know that 1,500 miles high by, well, let's say 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles makes it 2,250,000 square miles. If you were just to not look at it as a cube, but just look at it as the breadth times the length. It's 2,250,000 square miles. But you take and add that 1,500 miles high, it makes it 3,375,000 cubic miles in area. Okay? We're talking big. The world as we know it now, combining the areas of the seven continents, equals just an area of 57,609,000 square miles. But the area of the New Jerusalem is going to be 58 times that amount. 58 times. There's not going to be any shortage of space. there's really not any shortage of space now. You know, people talk about, you know, we got, we're running out of space. You go to Texas and you'll ride, and there's plenty of space. I know there was in Indiana. There's different places in the world. It's just that we tend to be attracted to population centers. We want to be near the nearest Walmart, right? Amen. There's not going to be a shortage on space. Jesus said in John 14:2, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And I want you to think about it. It will be perfect because the perfect architect designed to build it. You ever seen a place and you said, "Man, what a magnificent building or magnificent facility," or maybe you've been in a house and you said, "Man, wow, what a place." And if a earthly architect can do something like that here on the earth, think about the heavenly architect that made the universe, what he can do. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful thing, isn't it? It will also be a beautiful city of God. A beautiful city of God. It will shine with the glory of God, like crystal, so there's no need for a sun or a moon. It talked about the walls are jasper, and the city is of pure gold. Going to really be no such thing as rarity of the preciousness of the gold and silver and precious stones, really. The gates of pearl, foundation of precious stones. But he mentioned there would be no temple because we will dwell in the very presence of God Almighty. He mentions in chapter 22 there in verse number 1 that there will be a pure river of the water of life proceeding out of the throne of God. Notice verse 1, chapter 22. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Also, it mentions there in verse 2 of chapter 22, it says, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life." And remember the tree of life? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember how after man sinned, God put an angel there to guard the tree of life so man wouldn't eat of it and live in that condition forever? Well, here, the tree of life shows back up. And he says here, "which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." So, there will be the tree of life, yielding fruit. Not only will it be a beautiful city of God, but it will be a city of worship and service. There in verse number 3, it says, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Notice this next phrase, "and His servants shall serve Him." Are you serving the Lord now? You ought to serve the Lord now because you're going to serve Him for all eternity. You know, hey, we're going to be serving Him. What are we going to be doing? I don't know. But we're going to be serving Him. Amen. That's what it says. But only those who are saved are going to be there. There in verse number 27. And what a wonderful thing when you think about the what's in this world that we live in. And when you see there in verse 27 of chapter 21, "There shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Nothing to defile it. "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." No unregenerate sinners. You know, only those that have been born again. Only those that have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. when it mentions there, and look at verse number 8 again, he names off different types of sinners. Begins with the fearful and unbelieving. I believe he starts out with those that make up the majority of people in the world. A lot of folks won't come to the Lord because they fear. They're fearful. Some of them fear that they'll get tossed out of their family. I know Jewish people, if they get saved, their family treats them like they're dead. They're not, you know, they're not in the family. No more my son. You know, you're not my son, or you're not my daughter anymore. But some folks fear different things, and they won't get saved because of different fears in their life. But I believe the fearful and just unbelieving. Some folks are going to be going to hell just because, I mean, all of them are going to be unbelieving. But I'm talking about, they may not have been murderers, they may not have been whoremongers, they may not have been sorcerers or idolaters, they may simply have been unbelievers. And of course you got other sin in your life. But I'm talking about, they might not encompass what we would consider major sins, which make up some of that list there. They're not involved in that. They were just simply did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:18. God has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We see that we shall be identified, we'll see the face of the Lord, and we'll be identified by bearing His name in our foreheads, according to chapter 22 and verse number 4. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And it says that we will reign with Him forever, in verse number 5. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, you know, if heaven was simply a great city with streets of gold, gates of pearl, precious stones, wondrous beauty, you know, it might not be worth it all. But it has more than this. It's a place where we shall see Jesus face to face. Think about it. We're seeing your Savior. Dwell with Him for all eternity. That's what's going to make it worth it all. In eternity future, God will reveal to us the exceeding riches of His grace, according to Ephesians 2:7. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I don't think we fully understand the salvation that we enjoy. I really don't. But we're going to understand it better one of these days. David said in Psalm 17:15, he says, "As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness." Speaking of the Lord there. "And I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness." I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of battling sin in this life, aren't you? You know, we can gain victories over certain things in our life, but it always seems like we fail, don't we? There's some area that we fail the Lord, and we feel miserable about that. We come and ask forgiveness for that. But then one day we won't have to worry with that. One of these days we're going to be like Him. This old corruption is going to put on incorruption. This old mortal body is going to put on immortality. Think about this. When we see Him throughout eternity, we shall be finally satisfied. We shall be fully satisfied. And we'll be forever satisfied. Finally, fully, and forever satisfied. You know, we can have a part in this glory, and we can enjoy these eternal blessings, all because there's one who made it possible by His death on Calvary's cross. Those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will enjoy the blessings of the New Jerusalem when this world is no more. Kind of gives you something to look forward to, doesn't it? Yeah. The question is, do you know Him? If you don't know Him, you need to come to know Him. If you do know Him, you need to be serving Him. You need to get used to serving Him, because you're going to serve Him for all eternity. Amen. Well, we'll take a look at the ending of the chapter next week, the closing out of the book here, and then hopefully our books will be in. And if they're not, I've got a contingency plan I'm working on, so we'll look toward that. Anybody got any questions this morning? No, I don't normally open it up. But anytime you got a question, just raise your hand. Okay? And if I don't know the answer to it, we'll get you an answer to it. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time we've had in this Sunday school hour. And we just pray, Lord, that You would help us to have our eyes focused on things above, not on things on this earth. Lord, on what is to come, not on the things that are. On what we shall be, not on what we are right here. And Lord, to look at Your likeness and to realize that we're being conformed step by step. We're being conformed more and more every day into Your blessed image. One of these days it's going to be a reality. We will be like You when we go home to meet You. And Lord, we just thank You for the truths that we've read this morning. What a blessing it is to understand the perfectness of the new heaven and new earth and this new Jerusalem that's going to come down at where we will dwell for all eternity. Lord, we are blessed indeed. And so we're blessed because of Jesus, what Jesus has done in us through His salvation for us, through that salvation. And Lord, that the future that we have, help us to realize that our salvation has a past aspect when we got saved. It's got a present aspect of now that we are being conformed into Your image, that sanctification process. But it's got this future aspect that we've seen where we will be glorified with You. Living in a place of glory. Living with the King of glory. And enjoying the fruits of the glorious God of the universe. Lord, help us to be what we need to be for You. Serve You in this time. And we just pray that You bless the next service now as we move into it here in just a little bit. Pray You work on our hearts. Help us to, Lord, desire to walk closer to You. Just help us with these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.